Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, this is Kendra.
This is Jade.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Girl. This is going to be another heavy show, I know, because this guest is a returning guest.
Yes.
And she just had me all up in my feelings.
I'm going to give a recap for anyone that missed last episode. You need to go listen to it.
Definitely. It will bless you.
Y'all. So our guest is Emily Borkenhagen, mother of five babies on earth currently. And she shared the story of their attempt to add to their family. God had that on their heart. They found out they were having a baby, found out some complications, a lot of complications that arose. And that their little baby Poppy was not expected
Poppy
to live.
Poppy Joy,
to live past birth. And last episode, she shared the incredible story of how their family pushed against a anti-life doctor who was called Dr. Death and known as the Terminator.
And if I could just put this, yes. Previously she'd had midwives, is that right?
Yes.
That's why with this particular pregnancy, she ended up having to have a doctor.
Well, yes.
Midwives are, you know what I'm saying.
Sure, exactly.
I just wanted to bring that out
because
she didn't always have that doctor.
Yeah, so yeah. He was saying that she was selfish for not wanting to terminate the pregnancy. He worked for Planned Parenthood or was the director of Planned Parenthood, and yet she and her family made the difficult and beautiful choice to have every day that God ordained for Poppy to have her be allowed to live. Mm. Last episode, she shared, we ended the show with this beautiful hymn called Revelation Song, which is the song that's sung in heaven around the throne room, you know, holy, holy, holy. And she said that, you know, miraculously, Poppy was born alive, and their family got to hold this beautiful, precious soul. And 59 minutes of life, and they worshiped the Lord. Yeah. And that as Poppy slipped from this life into the next, she went from hearing that song by her family to hearing the angels in heaven and in the throne room of God. I got,
It's heavy. It's heavy.
But the story doesn't end there for Emily, right? So, Emily, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are so blessed for your honesty. And what I want to get into today is because, you know, after you went through all of that grief, you still had this desire of God's not done using me to nurture and be a mom to other people. Is that correct?
Yep. I've always just wanted to have whatever children in any capacity that God wants to give them to me still. However He wants to give me children, I want them.
Okay, so how did you pick up from that grief and that tragedy and find the courage to start trying again?
I don't really know. I didn't feel like it was the end for us. And then I don't think we were necessarily trying, but we weren't trying not to have any more children. Mm-hmm. So it was 2 years before I was pregnant again. And we announced it to everyone, and the next day I lost that baby, and that was really hard. And I actually announced the pregnancy on Poppy's birthday, then the next day we lost it, and it was just kind of like a punch to the gut, to be honest. But, you know, we grieved that baby and continued on. After that, I had 4 more miscarriages, so it's been almost 9 years since we lost Poppy. So in the 8 years following, I've had 5 miscarriages. The last one, I was in the hospital and severely hemorrhaged. So it was sort of a sad ending to my childbearing years, or so I thought.
Emily, what are your conversations with the Lord look like during this season?
Yeah. there are a lot of whys, I'm going to be honest, and there is always a moment of anger. And are you serious?
Right.
Really? But there has never been an option for me to not go to God.
Come on.
Like, running away just isn't really an option. Even when I'm mad, it's kind of like a pestilent child that kind of goes and pouts in the corner or throws a temper tantrum, but then comes back, you know, to their mom or their dad's arms and still wants that love and care and protection. And that's sort of how it's always been with me and God.
That's a good
example.
Even
when I throw a little temper tantrum or I'm upset about something, I always come back to him because he's my source of love and he's my source of protection and my sustenance. And so even if I am upset, even when these horrible things have happened, we've had a tremendous amount of loss in the past, you know, many years. God is who I want. And
come
he's
on.
God.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, I'm mad and I'm frustrated. And I talk to him and I talk to him. And I'm like, I'm mad at you. I'm really upset with you right now.
Yeah.
But I love you. You know that. Okay. We're going to be okay. But right now, I'm not okay.
Emily, you know, and it, what it reminds me of, because when we come to Christ and we say we become his children and we're saved, we're saying to him, this is no longer my life, but I'm living for you. Mm-hmm. And so I love that you're bringing this up because it just reminds me more. And I hopefully our listeners that this is literally God's life. Yeah. This is how he wanted to write your story. This is how he has gained more glory, even in the midst of the grief. What glory. Like, and for you to still be able to come to Christ even in the midst of your hardships, that just shows how mighty the God we serve, that you serve and I serve. Like, you're like, I can't leave him. And so it's encouraging to me, and I'm hoping, I know if somebody's not encouraged, something wrong with them. Like, to our listeners, that even in the midst of grief, man, like, you have no choice but to run to the Creator.
Yes. What's the scripture? I can't think of where it is, but they say, where else can I go? And it's talking about how God is the only source. And Emily, I think if you would have found true peace in a whiskey bottle, you know, or if in
that's real
medication, or in any
something
of the things
to numb yourself,
anything else that the world offers to try to help us
temporary
grieve through
fix.
Something, you might have stuck with it, but those things don't provide the peace and the healing that our soul craves. And when I think about Poppy's story specifically, but then compound that with five additional, like, man, you're getting beat down and beat down and beat down. Like, your soul was crying out, who else can I turn to? And the only place that you found joy was in Christ. And that scripture says that we don't grieve like the rest of the world.
Come on,
the fact that you are standing today, that you are a functional mother, is the grace of God so evident in your life, Emily?
It is. I mean, it is total mercy and total grace of God. The reason that alcohol and medications and all those worldly things don't provide peace is because where would the peace come from? I mean, in those things,
come on.
Our peace comes from God, and God is not in those things. And it doesn't mean that I haven't gone through severe bouts of depression and sadness. I have.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I have.
You're human.
But the reaction to that needs to be different. As people who grieve with hope, we have to know that at the end of that, even when we are feeling down, to know and cling to the truth that there is another side, that God will pull us through, even if it feels dark and it feels heavy and impossible in that moment, to know that God has come through before and he will come through in the future.
Yes, Lord.
And that it doesn't matter what Satan says to us, and it doesn't matter how we feel. The truth is that God is there for us, and God is going to help us through that. You said, where can we go from your presence? That is like my life verse, Psalm 139.
You know where it is.
You better preach that. Come on, Emily. Oh, Jesus.
There's nowhere we can go to get away from him. And even if we want to, he's still there.
Because we're his.
So I am his. When we surrender our lives to God, we're not saying, okay, God, I'm giving you my life and you better make it easy. We're saying, here's my life and you need to do with it as you want. And that is also giving him permission to do the hard things and to allow pain and allow these terrible things. God, Jesus did not say that if you take my yoke, it's going to be easy. He said, you know, the narrow way is hard, but he is there with us. So even though it's hard, it's bearable. I wouldn't want to go another hard way and it not be bearable.
And I want to add,
life is hard for everyone.
It is. And as a believer, we should desire to grow in the Lord. Like we say we want to grow. And so the Lord is like, okay, I'm going to help you grow because I'm going to prune you. John chapter 15, when he talks about pruning you, then you will bear more fruit. Emily, look how much fruit you are bearing to be a blessing to others, to share others. No, you're going to make it through, sister. Because let me tell you about my story. And he's faithful enough to carry you along. And so I'm seeing the fruit, the much, because we should want more fruit in order for that to happen. You've got to go through things. You got to go through trials.
And thank you for sharing what you did about that. You did struggle with depression, because I think there's this stigma for Christians that if you struggle with depression, that you aren't right with Jesus, you know, when
and that's true. And I've been lectured about it too, where people have said, you just need to remember that you have 5 healthy kids. You just need to remember and focus on what you have and not what you don't.
Oh my word.
And yeah, of course I'm doing that, but I'm also allowed to be sad for the things I've lost.
Absolutely.
And knowing that, you know, even though I'm sad, it's still for a purpose. And even though I feel really, really low, it is still for a purpose, and that God is with me. And I can't, you know, God gave us these emotions, and I feel like Psalms is full of David being like, oh God, why am I in this pit?
Yes.
And oh God, I love you. Like back and forth, he struggled with that. And God told us that on purpose, because we will also struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is okay. And it is okay to feel those things. We just need to cling to God in the midst of them.
Absolutely.
I love what you said about like the dumb things that people say, because Anne had mentioned to me, she was like, people would not say, like, people will say that about a miscarriage. Oh, well, at least you have this child already if you have one. Or, but you would never say that about, like, say you had parents and someone lost their mom. You'd be like, well, at least you got your dad.
Right.
Like, you, that is so callous.
Oh,
like,
my Lord.
To disregard that life that meant something to you, no matter how many days you had them. That was a human being that was a permanent part of your life.
Exactly. And honestly.
Yeah, and they deserve to be mourned over. I mean,
yes, they do.
There's a time for all of these things. There's
Emily.
A time for mourning. And and when we're in a time of mourning, we shouldn't be made to feel bad or guilty about that, because those are emotions God gave us for a purpose. And we need to feel them, and then we need to just know that God's going to get us through it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we only grieve those things that we love. We grieve like those things that were meaningful. So if you didn't grieve, I would think, okay, she didn't love her kids.
Right.
And so I was like, and we have to shun those, I'm going to just say it, the idiots who, because I would also want to challenge people who have maybe said something like that. Get into the scriptures, because Paul does tell us to mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice, and to be that callous. To say something like that to someone, to me, is ungodly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. The only thing I come up with, maybe they haven't gone through hard stuff. I don't know. But if they live in this life, they would. But I commend you for just ignoring that and allowing yourself to have those emotions, because God gave them to you. And depression is real. I mean, Prophet Isaiah. Wait, was it Isaiah or Jeremiah? One
that struggled with depression.
That dealt with depression.
Jeremiah was the weeping prophet.
The weeping
I don't
prophet.
Know if that was him or not.
I think that's the one that, sorry.
So I want to jump in. There's a lot of foolish things that people say when someone's grieving what you've done. Jade and I have not gone through an infant loss like you have.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to those of us who want to help, but we're like, I don't know how to help, what to say.
Mm-hmm.
What were some things that people in the body of Christ did for you or said or didn't do that was a huge encouragement to your family during that season?
That's a good question.
It kind of, I guess, goes without saying, but prayer really is the number one thing that helped us.
Mm.
People praying for us, praying with us. When someone would pray with me over the phone or in person, or send me a message that has a prayer in it, I feel like that was very, like, an extra step to say that they really cared. Meals are always really helpful. Maybe a friend would drop over with coffee or flowers. That was sweet.
Mm.
And just made me feel really cared for. There were a couple of times where, you know, if people say, oh, well, how can I help you? What can I do? You have no idea what you could do in that moment. I mean, I didn't even know what I need. I just need to breathe and grieve. That's it. Like, I just can't even think of the next thing. So maybe help with childcare if they have other people, or if they have their children in their house. Childcare is nice to give maybe the couple of night out or a night in alone. Is helpful. Again, meals is very helpful. Even like months down the road to say, hey, I'm thinking about you tonight, and I just like to bring you a meal this week. What day is it? I mean, even months down the road, that's helpful. Again, months down the road, just saying, hey, I was thinking about you today and I'm praying for you. That is helpful. Just any time that you can express to another person that you're thinking about them, that you're praying for them, is helpful. And tangibly, you know, coming over and helping with cleaning stuff if they'll allow you, coming over and helping with laundry if they'll allow you, just being aware that they don't know what they need and trying to maybe meet a need that isn't thought of yet, I feel like it's really helpful.
That's all so, so helpful. I'm taking notes over here mentally.
I'm curious about your babies, your older ones, all your children that are on the earth. How did they handle seeing mom and dad go through all these miscarriages? How has their relationship with the Lord looked through that?
I think that they go to God immediately too, because that's something that we, again, have sort of done as a family. I said in the last episode, we do everything sort of as a family, and we're open with them and transparent. We do a lot of praying together, and I hope that we have taught them enough to go to God first, that they always do that first. I feel like they've all weathered pretty well. There would be times where one of the kids would just get up in the middle of the night and they would be crying. Even the youngest at that time, he was two, you don't think that two-year-olds understand things, but they really do. He would just randomly start crying and just say, I miss Poppy. I mean, they feel these things, and we allow them to cry. You know, we're there for them. We hold them while they cry. We go to visit her grave together. We talk about her. You know, again, we're a very open family, and we go to God in everything. And I hope that we've taught them enough to do that, that is the reason why they're all doing pretty well. And we've had a lot of other loss in our life too, so they've unfortunately had a lot of experience with loss. So we've had a lot of talks. We talk about death. We talk about all the things that you could think of that could be associated with that or loss. And I think that probably makes a big difference, that it's not just this hidden away, quiet thing we don't talk about. We're very open in our family. They can feel the feels, and they can tell me and talk to me about anything. And I think that's really helpful in them being able to process and going to God too.
I can't help but think about how equipped your children are to face the real world, and how many kids are raised in the church, but they've never been through anything hard that tested their faith.
Because the parents are protecting them
so much. And they go to college, and they all of a sudden encounter something hard. And they're like, oh, I don't have any answers for this. Your kids are going to have a biblical worldview that is so sound that they know that Jesus is a rock. He is an anchor for their soul when a storm comes. And like, wow, what a tremendous gift.
That's the goal.
Wow. Well, I want to jump back into your story, because you had the last miscarriage left you thinking, okay, I think that this door to biological children is closing. Did you still have a desire to mother or nurture?
Absolutely. That does not go away. It doesn't go away when you lose a newborn. You still come home with all those feelings. It doesn't go away when you have a miscarriage. The nurturing feelings have to go somewhere, and they don't just go away. It hasn't gone away. And I've actually prayed, okay, God, if you are totally done with me in this way, just, you know, take that desire away. And he has not. And the last one was hard too, because, you know, I've had a friend that was through the same week as me. That was difficult. You know, with Poppy, my nephew was born the same week as Poppy. Another nephew was born 2 months before she was. There's all these babies around us, and so the feelings just never really go away. And you know, we can pour into those families too, but that feeling has not left. And so there was a lot of questioning. Okay, God, now what? Now what am I going to do? You know, you're not taking this away, and now what?
So where has God led you with that?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, every year and there, he'll bring a young adult into my life that I just really connect with. I connect well with teenagers, young adults. I don't really know if it's maybe I'm immature or if God just has given me a gift in that. So I've had already a couple of young adults who had wanted me to be a second mom to them. I was mom-ally at work when I worked with the kids at the coffee shop. I earned the nickname Modelly over the last couple of years. But then this summer, my two oldest kids got a last-minute job working at a Christian camp up north, Fort Wilderness Ministry, near Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And did a little plug for them. It's a great camp. But they got a last-minute job up there at the urging of my sister-in-law and brother-in-law missionaries up there. And they were hired, and you know, we missed them. I was like, oh, no, you know, I already have lost all these babies. And now my two big kids are leaving the whole summer. It was very sad. And so we decided to volunteer. And so the three other kids and I went to volunteer camp. And I very quickly became mom-ally there and gained dozens of extra children there, in young adults and teenagers. And it built me in a way that I didn't realize needed to be filled. And if I hadn't lost the last two babies, I lost baby last July, I got this last July, the year before, and then the November before that as well. Had I not lost those two babies, I would not have volunteered at camp. I would have had young children, and I would not have physically been able to do that. But because I did, I was able to go volunteer there and then be like an extra mom for the camp kids that were there, the staff, the summer staff, just more precisely. And it was really neat to see God redeem this awful thing that happened. And this desire that I had that was now sort of unfulfilled, even though I have other children, to have these losses at the end that left me going, now what? He filled it in a way I definitely did not see coming. And I would not have had the opportunity to meet all these amazing young adults that I got to meet and have in my life now if I had not had those last two losses. So even though it doesn't take away the pain and it doesn't replace those children, it is God saying, look at what I'm going to do in your life and look how I'm going to restore you and look how I'm going to redeem this in your life. And he just has poured and poured and poured that into my life in a really spectacular way.
We had Laura Perry Smaltz on the show a few months ago, and she used a term that I love, and I'm going to steal it from her, but she said spiritual children. Mm-hmm. There are some women that God calls you to be a spiritual mom to a spiritual child, and they might not ever share your DNA. But you know what? When the Bible says that we are supposed to be fruitful and multiply, God knows about infertility. He knows about miscarriage. He's not asking you to do something that is biologically impossible for you. Yeah. So if he has given you a desire to nurture, there are so many beautiful and creative ways and outlets that he might redirect your heart if you're willing to surrender your desires to him. And that's what I'm seeing from you, Emily, is that you have surrendered your path and your dream of the way you thought your family was going to look. And now God has added these spiritual children. And I can't help but think of just the age group that you're being drawn to. When we look at how many kids have walked away from the church and they've walked away from their own parents, there is something in our culture right now that is trying to alienate children and parents.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of Christian parents are praying, Lord, just send somebody into Jimmy's life to speak truth to him because he won't hear it from me. And so I think, Emily, you were an answer probably to several parents' prayers of, Lord, send someone that they'll listen to, because they do desire to have that parent, but there's something that is holding them back from receiving truth from their own parents. So what a blessing you and your family are.
Well, it's been a blessing to me. And you know, so many of the young adults right now, everyone is focusing a lot on the negative things about this next generation. But I walked into this camp and I saw a generation of hardworking young adults whose hearts are just hungry for God. And it gave me hope for the next generations, and Amen. It gave me hope for the future of our country and our world, and how they are hungry for God and they are hungry to spread the gospel. And it was really amazing and how they ministered to me as well. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what God has in the future for us there or here. You know, we're leading our church youth group now here, and it's just really neat to see this next generation who is hungry for God, mm-hmm. grow in Him and be excited about their future and how they want to reach the world for Him. And it's very exciting.
That's awesome. You've got me excited, Emily. And I just love the creative way that God is working in your life. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Whatever God has for you, it's beautiful, it's amazing, and you can trust Him.